ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
तच्चेज जलस्तां तपसाद् जगत् बभू किमेन दृष्टां भगवं स्तुतेवा किं वासुदृष्टां हृदि मेत देवा किं नौ सबाध्येव कुनाव्यदर्शि।
माय डियर लॉर्ड, इफ योर ट्रांसेंडेंटल बॉडी व्हिच शेल्टर्स द एंटायर यूनिवर्स is actually lying upon the water, then why were you not seen by me when I searched for you? And why, though I could not envision you properly within my heart, did you then suddenly reveal yourself? Report by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma here refers to his experience at the dawn of cosmic creation, as described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma took birth on the seat of a giant lotus whose stem emanated from the navel of Narayan. Brahma was bewildered as to his whereabouts, function, and identity. And therefore he tried to trace out the source of the lotus stem, searching for clear information. Unable to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he returned to his seat and engaged in severe austerities, having been ordered to do so by the transcendental voice of the Lord, who could be heard but not seen. After long meditation, Brahma saw the Lord, but then again lost sight of him. Thus, Brahma concludes that the transcendental body of the Personality of Godhead is not material, but rather an eternal spiritual form endowed with inconceivable mystic potencies. In other words, Lord Brahma should not have challenged the Personality of Godhead, the Lord of all mystic power. Translation. My dear Lord, if your transcendental body, which shelters the entire universe, is actually lying upon the water, then why were you not seen by me when I searched for you? And why, though I could not envision you properly within my heart, did you then suddenly reveal yourself? We are this morning hearing the sublime words of the great founder of our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Lord Brahma is here revealing his remembrance of his first experience with his spiritual master, Lord Sri Krishna. Oftentimes, devotees, they like to discuss amongst themselves how they first met their spiritual master. It is a very most relishable and purifying subject matter for all of us to remember. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoi Sri Guruve Namaha. Because every true devotee has this feeling that I was born in the darkness of ignorance. No devotee should ever think that by my good birth, by my previous pious activities, I am a very advanced soul. After all, Lord Brahma, he has the highest birth. No one can have a higher birth than Brahma. He's born from a lotus flower directly sprouting from the navel of Lord Narayan. He is Atmabhu. What higher birth could he have? And not only that, but we all know that in order to attain a birth as Lord Brahma, one has to have performed the supremest pious activities in all of creation. It is the topmost pious birth possible. So he had highest birth. And he was not thinking himself an advanced soul. But Lord Brahma, even though he was fully manifested in such a sublime form, all around him he could see nothing but darkness. There was darkness north, south, east, and west. He could not see anything beyond this darkness. He could not see anything within this darkness. There was simply darkness all around. And he decided to search. He decided to search for his origin. And what was around him? And what was his purpose? And who was God? And he was searching in every direction. But through all of his great, great efforts, he only found one thing: more darkness. With all of his power and all of his greatness, he could not free himself from this darkness all around him. He could not create, nor could he find, even the slightest trace of light. But because of his sincere endeavor, he attracted the mercy of Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan was not seen but heard by Brahma. He heard two syllables, tapa. And Lord Brahma accepted this as the word of his Gurudev and surrendered to performing great, great tapasya. It is said in the Shastra that we should not try to see through our eyes, but we should learn how to see through our ears. By hearing the glories of the Lord, by hearing the instructions of the spiritual master, and by following those instructions, through that sound vibration we can perceive God. Shabda Brahma. So Lord Brahma surrendered with great submissiveness to the order of the Lord. And through that process, through simply endeavoring according to his capacity to serve the order of the Lord, Sriman Narayan became most pleased with him and revealed his divine transcendental form. Not only that, but he revealed the spiritual world. Om Agyanti Midandasya Genanjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Venama. You see, the most important service of a real spiritual master is not only to reveal the truth to us that is within the scriptures, but to live by those truths. And the first truth, tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastuta darshana, is to approach a spiritual master and inquire submissively and be a servant. So therefore, a true guru must teach by his example how to be a true disciple. When the disciples of a spiritual master see how he is so faithfully, humbly dedicating his body, mind, words, and life to the service of his guru, through that we learn how to serve our guru. Therefore, it is said that unless you become a perfect disciple, you cannot understand what it means to be a perfect guru. To the degree one is a faithful and loyal disciple, to that degree one can be a proper spiritual master. These days there are many so-called great, great sadhus who just claim, but by their own revelation, by their own greatness, they have achieved the mercy of Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna and have become empowered acharyas. But how do we really know whether they are actually in such a position? But there is one way we can know for sure. If such a person is in an authorized parampara, the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Nimbark Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, Brahma Sampradaya, Gaudiya Sampradaya, Ballabha Sampradaya. There are four Vaishnava Sampradayas, and there are various branches in those four. But if we find that a person has inquired submissively and been the humble servant of a great guru in one of these sampradayas, then it is quite clear that this person is really teaching by his example how to be a proper disciple. And therefore, within our own sampradaya, it is very, very, very strongly commanded that we should offer respects to all Vaishnavas, but we should only follow and be inspired by those persons who are really and truly serving the previous acharyas. This is of utmost importance. Otherwise, we become attracted by lesser important characteristics, mystic powers, tremendous quantities of learning, the manifestations of ecstatic symptoms. Devotees in our line are neutral to all of these things. They only take one thing seriously. How is this person humbly serving his Gurudev's mission? And how is he living by the words of his Gurudev? And how is he preserving and maintaining the truth that Krishna has originally spoken
through these great systems of disciplic succession.
And how is such a great soul revealing to the world this great gift of Guru Parampara? In this way, we can accept the teachings of all the great acharyas, of all the great Vaishnav sampradayas. They are all one. We worship all of them. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who played the role of a devotee, he stressed this principle so much. Although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original source of Narayan, still, he accepted Diksha and Shiksha from Sri Ishwarapuri Maharaj, who was in the disciplic succession of Sri Madhvacharya in the Brahma Sampradaya. Why? Why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did like this? He was the knower of everything. He was the controller of everything. He is Jagat Guru. He does not require a guru, a spiritual master. There is no need. But Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami juge juge. When the Lord appears in this world, he comes to establish the principles of religion. And the first principle of religion is to humbly submit oneself before a bona fide spiritual master. So therefore, simply for our sake, to show us that it is utmost essential to humble ourselves before a bona fide guru in an authorized parampara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwarapuri as his Gurudev. And then he taught us how to approach the spiritual master. Veda ham samatitani varatamana nichajuna babashani chabutani mamtu veda nakashina. Krishna, he knows past, present, and future. He knows everything. Vedaishta sayaver aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vid eva cha aham. That he is the compiler of the Vedas and he is the knower of all the Vedas. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna avatar, what is the need for him to study the Vedas under a guru? He is the author of the Vedas and the knower of Vedanta. But yet when he came before his Guru Maharaj, Ishwarapuri, he told him that I am a great fool. I am such a fool that there is no use telling me to study the Vedas because I cannot understand. So his Gurudev said, yes, yes, it is correct, you are a fool. Better you just chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because in the age of Kali Yuga, who can understand the Vedas? Even the greatest scholars, they cannot extract the essence from the Vedas. Only by the mercy of Sri Krishna can one understand. And the mercy of Sri Krishna is one who serves the Vaishnavas and who humbly chants the holy names. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that just by humbly serving his guru and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, he attained the perfection of ecstatic love. And you know, in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he met his guru, he did not even display any symptoms of being a devotee. Although he was God himself, he was playing the role, and it was a very important lesson he was trying to teach us. He was playing the role of a mundane scholar. And Navadvipa is Nimai Pandit. He was basically the greatest of all scholars. He even defeated the greatest Digvijay Keshava Kashmiri. But he did not reveal even the slightest glimpse of devotion to Krishna. He was simply merged in arguing and debating on the subject matter of Vyakarana and other technical subjects. In fact, in Navadvip, it was mostly terribly materialistic people at the time. Most of them were worshipping the demigods simply for material benedictions. There were so many Mayavad sannyasis who were aspiring not for service, but for the position of God. There were so many followers of tantricism who were engaging in all sorts of illicit activities in the name of yoga. And there was only a few devotees, pure Vaishnavas, who were following in the line of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. They were the disciples of Madhavendra Puri. And they were always at the house of Sri Advaita Acharya having wonderful kirtans, chanting, dancing, and praying to Lord Hari, please help us to convince these fallen materialistic people to take to the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these devotees, they did not like to hear anything but the topics of Krishna. To them, it was a complete waste of their lives to hear anything but the glorification of Krishna's names and pastimes. To hear any material subject matter brought pain to their heart. This is the nature of a devotee. In the Bhagavatam, it says that those who relish the subjects of this material world, they are like crows who enjoy eating the garbage. But those who are devotees of the Lord, they are like swans. They are always tasting the sweet nectar from the stem of the lotus. So these swan-like devotees could not tolerate hearing the caw, caw, caw of all these crows speaking all material subjects. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, he was the foremost of the crows. The Lord wanted to show that if he wants to become a materialist discussing material subject matter, he's the best. No one can defeat him. So he would stop the devotees and challenge them on some technical materialistic detail of the Vedas. Some grammatical rule and regulation. And he would challenge them, and he would argue with them, and he would defeat them. And the poor devotees, they were just, when he would challenge them, they wanted to just walk away. But he was so beautiful that something in their heart, they just loved him the same way they loved Krishna. They couldn't walk away from him, but at the same time, they couldn't tolerate hearing all these material subject matters. It was unbearable to them. One day, it is explained, one of the great Vaishnavas, his name was Mukunda. Mukunda was the same age as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he, by the grace of the Lord, he was gifted with the most beautiful voice to sing kirtan. Although he was just a young boy, when he would come to the house of Advaita Acharya, the house of Srivas Thakur, everyone would ask him, please, you sing the kirtan of the holy name. And when he would sing the beautiful names and qualities of Sri Krishna, he would just weep in ecstatic love. And his voice was so full of sweet devotion.
and it sounded so beautiful to the heart that all of the devotees would just swoon in ecstatic love and fall to the ground. And Mukunda, he could not tolerate hearing anything but the glories of the Lord. Therefore, by all means, he tried to avoid having any contact with Nimai Pandit. So one day, Nimai was a teacher. He had thousands and thousands of students learning grammar from him. And one day, Nimai was walking with his students along the banks of Ganga, and Mukunda was walking in the way toward them. And Nimai called out, "Ah, Mukunda, I have some questions for you." And Mukunda ran the other way. And Nimai said to his students, he said, "Why is this Mukunda? Where has he gone? Why is he running away from me?" And his students said, "Oh, Nimai, it must be that he has some very, very important appointment that he has to go to. Or maybe he did not see you." And Nimai Pandit said, no, that is not the reason. The reason is Mukunda is a pure Vaishnava. And he cannot tolerate hearing material subject matters, which I am always speaking. Therefore, he wants nothing to do with me. He cannot tolerate me. That is why he has run away. But then he turned toward the direction Mukunda ran, and he started speaking very loudly for everyone to hear, "But Mukunda, you just wait and see. Someday, I will become such a Vaishnava that even Brahma and Shiva will put their heads on my lotus feet." And none of the students could understand what he was saying. They were just thinking he was telling some joke. Huh? So anyways, it is explained that this was going on for some time. And one day, that great disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, that humble and gentle Mahatma, Sri Ishwara Puri, happened to come to Navadvip Dham. He made no announcement of his arrival. He was so humble and so gentle that he would not even tell anyone who he was, because he was very famous. But he did not want any recognition or any glorification. So he appeared in the dress as a Mayavad sannyasi. So one day, he came to the house of Advaitacharya. And without saying anything to anyone, he just sat on the dirt in the ground, outside in the courtyard, while all the devotees were discussing the divine leela of Radha and Krishna. He was just a little distance away, sitting on the ground, like a stranger, just listening. And Sri Advaitacharya and the other Vaishnavas, they saw him, and they were thinking, "Who is this man? He is in the dress of a Mayavad sannyas. What is this? And what type of stranger is this? He is just sitting there, but at the same time, there's some quality about him that is very attractive. We cannot understand what it is." So at that time, Mukunda began to sing. He began to sing very sweetly the beautiful, charming pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then Ishwara Puri just fell into ecstatic love, choked in the voice, crying out, "Radhe, Radhe, Krishna, Krishna." And when upon seeing this, Advaitacharya could understand that this must be a great disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Otherwise, how could anyone have such ecstasies of love? So then they all surrounded him. And when they understood that he was the great Ishwara Puri, they all fell down and offered their prostrated obeisances and gave him all honor and respect. There is a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita of how Sri Ishwara Puri attained this very, very high position. It is explained that when his guru, Madhavendra Puri, was at the last stage of his life, he was very, very sickly. He was laying on his deathbed. He could not walk. He could not even stand up. And it is explained that when he went to the bathroom, he just went right in his bed. And Ishwara Puri, 24 hours a day, was sitting at the bedside of Madhavendra Puri, his guru, and with such humble and menial service, with his own hands, with such love and devotion, he would clean the stool and urine of his guru's from his body, thinking, how fortunate am I that my beloved guru is giving me this service. And the pains that his Guru Maharaj's body was feeling in such old age, Ishwara Puri was constantly massaging his lotus feet, massaging his body, just the most menial, humble possible service. And through this devotion, Madhavendra Puri invested within him the supreme power of bhakti. It is not that he was already a very good scholar, but his scholarship did not bring him the mercy of the Lord. It was because he agreed to perform the most menial, humble, possible services to his guru. The service of a nurse, not a great acharya, but a simple nurse, because he did this for his spiritual master with such feeling, he was invested with the divine power of bhakti. And everyone knew of his glory, that one who becomes the humble servant of the great souls, they are the greatest of all personalities. So, when Ishwara Puri came to Navadvip, people recognized him very much. And one day, Nimai Pandit was walking down the banks of the Ganges, and he happened to come across Ishwara Puri. And although he was very challenging to everyone he met, when he came before Ishwara Puri, he became very humble. He said, "Please come to my home for prasad." And he brought him to his home, and he personally, his wife Vishnu Priya and Sachi Devi cooked, and he was personally serving with his own hands. And after Ishwara Puri completed, he massaged his lotus feet. He took the remnants of his Maha Maha Prasad. And then Ishwara Puri left Navadvip, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the excuse of going to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony for his recently departed father, Jagannath Mishra, he went with some of his students. And there, at the Gadadhar temple, where the lotus feet of Lord Narayan are seated in Sri Gaya Dham, while he was sitting there looking at the beautiful lotus feet of Narayan, Ishwara Puri came into the temple. And there Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell at his lotus feet and surrendered his life. And it was from that point that the symptoms of ecstatic love began to manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told Ishwarapuri that my whole life has been simply wasted. But now, by your mercy, by your grace, you have uplifted me and you have given me love of Krishna. And Ishwarapuri told him that you should always chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to stress the importance of humility before Guru to such an extent that when he went to the birthplace of Ishwarapuri, Kumarahatta, he rolled in the dust of the ground and he began to eat the dirt. And he said, this is the most holy of all holy places because on this soil my Guru Maharaj was born. And he took a cloth full of that dirt, and every day he would eat that dirt and tears of ecstatic love would fall from his eyes. Why? Because many years ago, his spiritual master's lotus feet had been upon that dirt. Therefore, he considered that that dirt was eternally sanctified and could purify all the three worlds. So here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Lord himself, has revealed this wonderful pastime to show that nobody can come out of the darkness of ignorance without surrendering oneself before a proper guru. Not even himself. Lord Sri Ramchandra, he was such a humble, obedient servant of Vishwamitra Muni, carrying wood for him, massaging his feet, bringing water for him. Lord Sri Krishna did the same for his guru, Sandipani Muni. In this way, this example is so strongly explained. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina sutta darshana. When the Lord comes, he not only speaks this truth, but he shows us how to follow. So here today we are reading about Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma is remembering his first meeting with his guru. He is remembering how he is born from the lotus stemming from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And how there was just all darkness everywhere around him. Om Agyan Timidandasya. He was born in the darkness of ignorance. But by the causeless grace of his guru, he was given light. The torchlight of knowledge opened his eyes to see the truth. And what was the truth that his spiritual master revealed to him? When he first began to see the divine realm of Vaikuntha, Brajbhumi, he began to offer beautiful prayers. The Brahma Samhita are the prayers that Lord Brahma offered when the divine abode of Goloka was revealed before him. In his first prayer, Ishvara Padma Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. This is the divine truth that his guru revealed to him. Ishvara Parama Krishna. That Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. Every living being has some power of control from the insignificant ant up to Lord Brahma. and even the great demigods. We all have some power to control our particular sphere of life. Ishwara Parama Krishna. But Krishna is Parameshwar. He is the supreme controller. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. His divine form is not material. It is not subject to any of the limitations of this creation. Tribir Gunamayar Bhavayar. It is not at all under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. The Vigraha of Sri Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. It is Nava Yovanam Cha. He is eternally youthful. Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. It explains in the Brahma Samhita that Krishna's transcendental body is the source of everything that exists. That even the Brahma Jyoti, Brahman, the all-pervading, omnipotent light that the impersonalists are spending lifetimes and lifetimes performing tapasya to merge into, that light is the effulgence, the ray that is emanating from the beautiful body of Govinda. And his body, it is described that each one of his senses can perform the work of all of his other senses. He could see through his ears. He could taste through his eyes. He could smell through his feet. Every part of his body is completely conscious, and every aspect, every particle of his transcendental body can perform any activity and can experience any of the sensual experiences. Krishna can see through his ears, but not like us. He could see everything, everywhere, and at all times, through his hands, through his legs, through his head, through any part of his body. He could taste through his eyes. That is how, when we put the offering on the altar, simply by Krishna, he doesn't have to pick it up and put it in his mouth to taste it. Simply by glancing on it, he can taste it in full. But his eyes are so unlimited that anywhere, there are billions and trillions of universes. And any devotee, anywhere, in any of the universes that offers Krishna some bhoga in love, Krishna, who is seated in Goloka Vrindavan, he is seeing that offering and he's tasting it to his full satisfaction. This is the nature of Krishna's vision. Therefore, Lord Brahma says, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, that your body is eternal, it is unlimited, it is infinite, it is full of knowledge, and it is full of bliss, full of all joy, all ecstasy. Anadir Adir Govinda. That this Govinda, who is playing the part of a beautiful little cowherd boy, stealing butter from the gopis, running in fear of the stick of Mother Yashoda, body trembling, tears falling from his eyes. This beautiful little child, Govinda, he is the source of everything that exists. He is the origin of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. and some impersonal philosophers. Krishna says in Gita,
Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mami vaisya shishatyamtam pratijani shiokhime.
He says to Arjuna, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. And one very, very great pundit, in his commentary of the Gita, he said, it is not to Krishna that we should always remember and become devotee. It is to that unborn, unmanifest spirit within Krishna. But the Vaishnavacharyas completely reject this idea. That if Krishna wanted us to surrender to the unborn, unmanifest spirit within him, he would have said, surrender to the unmanifest, unborn spirit within me. Over this universe. You know, just like sometimes even great devotees, they get so caught up in their duties that they temporarily forget. Huh? But that forgetfulness in the lives of people like Brahma, that forgetfulness is not due to their negligence. That forgetfulness is the curtain of yoga maya that is personally created by Lord Govinda just to increase the ecstatic pastimes of Braj Bhumi. And also to show all of us a lesson that without the mercy of Gurudev and without the humble service of the Lord, however great we are, we are nothing before Krishna. And therefore, we should eternally understand Jivada Swarupoi Nitya Krishnara Nitya Das. That we are all meant simply for the pleasure, for the enjoyment of Lord Hari. So this most wonderful and beautiful pastime is so relishable to hear and so instructive that anyone who submissively hears this wonderful lila and understands it will no doubt achieve the supreme mercy of Radhan Krishna. That is the benediction given to every one of the beautiful lilas of Sri Krishna of Vrindavan. That just by submissively hearing any one of these beautiful pastimes, our life becomes perfect. Every word, every syllable of the Bhagavatam contains the complete mercy and of the absolute truth, Sri Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. It is the spotless, most pure of all the Puranas. It is the very incarnation of Krishna himself. So by hearing these wonderful pastimes, factually, we are within the realm of Braj Bhumi. The sound vibration of Krishna's lila is none different than Krishna's lila. And just by hearing it anywhere, even if we are in Naraka Loka, when we hear the pastimes of the Lord, to the extent our mind is absorbed in that, we are actually Narada, not in Naraka Loka, we are in Goloka Vrindavan. And actually, Bombay is not much better than Naraka Loka. So, this is the great benediction. For these wonderful past 8 days, Sri Panditji Maharaj, Madan Mohanji, Hare Krishna, Narasingha Baba, Bolanadji, Lala, Suresh, Meera, by their great, great mercy, they were just filling our lives with the beautiful sound vibration of Krishna's lila. Panditji, with such sweet emotion, devotion, and with such great scholarship, he was reciting to us the beautiful lila of the Bhagavatam.
Madan Mohanji, Hare Krishna, Narasingha Babaji, Bamsidhar Babajini Maharaj, Bolanath Ji, all of these wonderful devotees, when they were singing in kirtan, the wonderful, wonderful stories of Krishna's Leela and the beautiful sound vibrations of the holy name, they have brought Goloka Vrindavan right into our temple. And they have brought Goloka Vrindavan into the homes of all of our devotees. And most of all, they have brought Goloka Vrindavan into all of our hearts. This is the great mercy of the sadhus. This is the true manifestation of the love of the Brijbasis. Our own Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, he was so happily and peacefully living in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Mandir. But it was his Guru's desire that let the whole world enjoy the sweetness of Vrindavan. Speak the holy names. Speak the philosophy of Krishna Katha. And Srila Prabhupada said, because I am always chanting Krishna's names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And because I am always serving my Guru's order by speaking Krishna Katha, I feel that I have never left Braj Bhumi. He would tell us this. But then secretly he would tell his confidential disciples, although this is true, still my heart is longing to return to Vrindavan. Still, my heart is longing to go back to the beautiful groves of Vrindavan. So, in a very nice, wonderful, similar way, these wonderful Brijbasis, I mean, can you imagine? They have left the beautiful, beautiful surroundings of Man Mandir, where monkeys are dancing and peacocks are singing, and Ramesh Babaji Maharaj is dancing. And Radharani is eternally just manifesting herself in the sweetest, most wonderful way. Can you imagine that they have left that holy, simple, quiet place to come to a crowded, polluted, congested city like Bombay, riding on all these terrible trains? Such a sacrifice. But it is the sacrifice of love. They have not left Vrindavan. They have simply come to bring Vrindavan to our lowly, wretched, and sinful selves. Knowing what fallen souls we are, knowing how childish and materialistic our hearts and minds are, they have come out of their great mercy to enlighten us with the beautiful sound vibration of Krishna Katha, with the beautiful sound of the holy kirtan, and most of all, with the beautiful sight of the wonderful dancing of Bamsidhar Babajini Maharaj. Arivo! That is the gopi name of Narasingha Babaji Maharaj. Is there any questions? Parad, please forgive me. But I am saying it with affection. Any questions? Yes? Want to chastise me in public? He knows my ahankar, my ego, will become too much disturbed. This is his mercy. Yes, Ananda Vrindavan.
Maharaj, you are saying that if we really want to advance in spiritual life, we should have from our core of our heart that one feeling that whatever we are having, whatever advancement, little bit of thing which we have done, it's only by the causeless mercy of the spiritual master. And this thing should be from our core of our heart, and that should go on for our whole lifetime. That there is not a single tinge on our own endeavor that we have done anything. Now the problem for us is that we go into material world, and the material people, materialistic people, they have the tendency of controlling tendency, and we are associating at least 7 to 8 hours with them, and we are with them practically, and they try to, so to say, somewhat brainwashed us that no, you are the controller, not the other people, and how you are doing hard working and how this and that. Now on that side, we have to every day you have to just go on quarreling yourself and make our mind fixed up that whatever we are thinking that is perfect and whatever these people are thinking is not perfect. And for that, again, that association and all these things that is required, that every day we have to associate in these so that everything would be okay. But the problem for us is even one day also, if those people overcome us, we will really fall down again into this particular trap. And we'll be, and that too also we are having this whole life, at least 20, 30 years, we have to just go on quarreling for 20, 30 years for this way. And even one day we lose it, we are gone off. Of course, it has been said in Bhagavad Gita that whatever you have done in the past, it is not lost. It will be carried forward in the next birth. But who knows that in the next birth, we'll be having the same association or we'll be having the same endeavor. Who knows it? So it's a really a very, very dangerous situation altogether. So how to see to it that we really come out very smoothly without all these problems and...
Arriba.
Someone could write a book about Ananda Vrindavan's questions.
It is true. Mahatsevam dvara mahurava muktayastamo dvaram yoshita sanghi sangam. By associating with Mahatmas, the doors to liberation are open. And by associating with worldly people too much attached to sex life and material enjoyment and wealth, the doors to the darkness of ignorance are open. Rishabhdev has said like this. So what is the prevention of falling prey to this controlling power of Maya? Grihastha means you have to have a job to maintain your family. That is Grihastha Ashram. How to prevent from falling down to this egoistic way of life that I am the controller, I am the master, I am the lord, I am the proprietor. By associating with sadhus every day and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from them. And by chanting the holy names of God very faithfully and regularly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hearing the Bhagavatam, associating with sadhus, and chanting the holy names of God will give you strength. It is just like sometimes when you're going, when someone goes to a very, very diseased, infested area to try to help those people, they have to get immunization. You know immunization. You get an injection which immunes you from the disease.
But you have to get that immunization regularly. So every morning, we should immune ourselves from material life by hearing the Bhagavatam, by associating with sadhus, and by chanting Krishna's holy names. And if we do this regularly, nasta prayesha bhadrishu nityam bhagavati sevaya. If we do this regularly, then even we will have great strength. Maya will not be able to overcome this. But even if in the course of our daily duties we become a little bewildered and overcome, still, the next day when we're sitting in Bhagavatam class and chanting the holy names, we will be revived again. Huh? So this regular association with Krishna's devotees, with Bhagavad philosophy, and with Krishna's name can protect us from all the dangers and problems of this world. So knowing this, we should not think that sadhana is just something nice that I can do when I have time. This sadhana is the most urgent emergency necessity in our life. And if we miss a day of it, we can be spiritually killed. Huh? We should have this sense of importance. And then there is no power of Maya that can overcome us. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nani nukontaya jagadvi paribharatate. Krishna says, I am the controller of this Maya energy. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vampre papadyante maya metatarantite. And those who surrender to me in this way, I protect them. So by regularly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and serving the Vaishnavas, Krishna will protect you. Do not fear. Don't worry. Yes, we are three. Don't worry. We should not worry as long as we are taking shelter of this process. But if we even consider deviating from regularly hearing Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names in association of devotees, we should worry like anything. We should consider that, like if you are on a helicopter and you're hanging from a rope and it's 10,000 meters down to the ground, your whole attention should be on that rope. You start thinking about, I would like to go to eat this, or I would like to go see this, then you might forget about the rope and let go, and then you're dead. But letting go of that rope, the only thing that dies is this physical body, which is going to have to die in a few years anyway. But letting go of Krishna's lotus feet, even for a second, spiritually we are cast in a situation worse than death. So therefore, to regularly hear the Bhagavatam, to every day chant the holy names, to serve the sadhus, we should have the same sense of urgency of taking shelter of Krishna through these processes, even more so than holding on to that rope. That if we deviate, if we let go, we're finished. The waves of Maya will wash us away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Maharaj, what should be, sometimes it so happens where practical problems are there. Supposing the trains are not working, so come from far away, and we can't come to the Bhagavatam class. Or sometimes in the other day round, some office, very heavy load is exceptionally.
Then you should sit with your good wife and you should read Bhagavatam together and chant the holy names together. Huh? If the trains are not working and you cannot come to the temple, it doesn't give you an excuse to turn on the television or to go to the restaurants. It gives you excuse, if I cannot go to the Bhagavatam has come to me. We should sit, and that same time we should read Bhagavat and chant the holy names. Huh? The whole Indian railway system is becoming a place of pilgrimage when Ananda Vrindavan boards the train to come to Bhagavatam class. Wherever the devotees are thinking of Krishna, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage.
That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Prayag to perform the Shraddha ceremony of his father. So is it
Gaya.
So is it compulsory for every Grihastha to perform, and what is the significance of it?
Actually, this was before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surrendered to his Gurudev. So he was very, very carefully and perfectly following the general system for Grihasthas. So this is good, but actually you could have the same type of Shraddha ceremony if it is done with love and devotion by inviting all of the by inviting great and pure-hearted Vaishnavas to your home to chant, to have beautiful kirtan in the honor of your deceased father, to offer bhoga to Lord Krishna, to offer that prasad, mahaprasad, to your father, then to feed all the Vaishnavas and receive their blessings. That is perfect Shraddha ceremony. There is no need to go to Gaya if you do it like that. But if you want, you can go to Gaya also. It is certainly a very holy place, no doubt. It is performed out of love and compassion because it is the duty of the son, Putra, to help the father come closer to God. That is the responsibility of every son. You see, Prahlad Maharaj did not go to Gaya to perform Shraddha for Hiranyakasipu. Because wherever the Lord is present, that place, all the holy places are contained there. Huh? So Narsingadeva appeared, he directly delivered Hiranyakashipu. There was no need for any other ceremonies. Of course, he performed his ceremonies, but his father was liberated. He performed the last rites like a dutiful son. So we should know wherever the devotees, the sincere Vaishnavas are chanting the holy names, we should know that is a holy place of pilgrimage. Is this correct, Panditji? You are the gist of Bhagavatam.
So today, these dearly beloved Vrijavasis, it brings great sorrow to our heart to say that they will be leaving us. But it brings happiness to our heart to know that they will be returning to their joyful life in Braj Bhumi. But it will bring sorrow that they are leaving us alone in this place. But we want to extend our greatest appreciation that they have come to bring so much light and love into our lives. Huh? With their blessings, it is possible. This is the power of their blessings. That even an asura like me can be given entrance into Braj Dham. Without the mercy of such loving devotees, there is no hope, no possibility. So please, if it is in your heart, my prayer is that you kindly continue to shower these loving blessings in my life. That we may always remember Krishna, and we may always chant his holy names. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.